Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pavishtastu Griham Pitro. Parishvakta samatribi Pavande sirasa sapta Devaki pramukha mudha. After entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mother's presence, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head at their feet. The mothers were headed by Devaki, his real mother, purport. It appears that Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, had completely separate residential quarters where he lived with his 18 wives, out of whom Devaki is the real mother of Lord Krishna. But in spite of this, all the other stepmothers were equally affectionate to him, as we evident from the following verse. Lord Krishna also did not distinguish his real mother from his stepmothers, and he equally offered his obeisances unto all the wives of Vasudeva present on the occasion. According to scriptures also, there are seven mothers. One, the real mother. Two, the wife of the spiritual master. Three, the wife of a Brahmin. Four, the wife of the king, the cow, the nurse, and seven, the earth. All of them our mothers. Even by this injunction of the Shastras, the stepmother, who is the wife of the father, is also as good as the mother, because the father is also one of the spiritual masters. Lord Krishna, Lord of the universe, plays the part of an ideal son, just to teach others how to treat their stepmothers. Om Jnana Timurangasya Jnananjana Silakaya Taksurumlatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Ajadana Sthiram Dantaya Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Yuvisham Janma Janmani Vairagi Yud Bhakti Visham Tiyatnai Apayam Amana Dipsamandam Kutam Bhiya Paraduka Duki Janatanastam Prabhumasriyami Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhu bhayevacha apitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One second. So, greetings from Vrindavan. Well, I hope I continue, my throat is a little bad. Busy, busy Vrindavan, so many people here, so many people coming, but it's always pleasant to help people, facilitate people in the Dham, because there's an unforgettable sweetness in the Dham that gives one religious experience. Religious experience is a perception of God, had a perception of God that's it may be very subtle, but it's undeniable in one's heart. And I see how that works. In the other sanghas, I was telling you that my cousin is here, who's been 31 years in a impersonal tradition and is taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. Very, very wonderful. She's developed a very, very nice relationship with Satchinanda Swami, who's given us some very nice instructions. Mahari's here every day. He cooks lunch. I have lunch with her. We discuss, and she said, for 31 years, I was Susan Hepp, daughter of Milton and Edna, and for 31 years, I was Ma Seva, disciple of the tradition of the Himalayan masters, and now, I'm on a new path, hopefully for 31 years, of bhakti. And yesterday she got her bead bed and chanting 16 rounds. And she even said, maybe I'm coming now because I missed all that other stuff that went on. But it's good, too. You can see in Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that there are four types of people that come to Krishna. Achatur, Biha, Bhajanti, Mam, Jana, Sukhatano, Jana, Atarthi, Jigyasu, Ganesha. But there are four types of people that come, those in distress, those for economic reasons, those out of intellectual curiosity, and those who are the Jnanis. And all of them, the Jnanis are the best because they don't come for any material motive because they're already detached from the world. And I can see that with her. I mean, for her to sit and chant 16 rounds is just absorbing. And you know, she's worked on becoming free from the ego, so she easily can surrender and respect people. She spoke for about 4 or 5 hours with Mother Jagatarini the other day, Borijan's wife, and she's going to meet with Mother Jamuna. So sweet being with Mother Jamuna. I grew up a very sweet relationship with her, and we're making a plan on the 33rd anniversary of her deities. I was there on the 20th anniversary. By the grace of Henry, I was one of the guests of honor there at his house when we had that 20th anniversary. Very memorable function. And we're going out to Ter Kadamba. And we're just going to chant and japa and read prayers and stay out there for the day. And she really has a devotion temperament. It's really a pleasure to be with her. And Dina Tarni, very, very exalted souls. And yeah, that'll be really wonderful. We'll do that. And so now we'll get to the what we're studying now. And I can see the relationship between Krishna Lila and your Lila because I'm teaching every day in the house here. It's very wonderful when people come every day at 4:30 and really can pour my heart out in Gaur Lila. And Mahahari is taping those classes. And I can actually see and understand so much about Vrindavan because the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his incarnation is to experience the love of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically Srimati Radharani. And to meditate on those pastimes, to understand what the internal intent is. It really gives you some perception. And the last part we're up to in that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now fully in the mood of Radharani, not only fully in the mood of Radharani, but very intimately starts relating to Jagannath as Lord Krishna. And after ecstatic kirtans, absorption in ecstatic kirtans, which wells the sentiments of the soul to the highest level of devotion and relish, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just standing before Jagannath. And through, he looks at Jagannath's beautiful face, and an ocean of transcendental bliss comes through his eyes. And this is what the spiritual world is. It's not mundane, but it's a sensual experience. You taste the spiritual world. You see the spiritual world. You hear the spiritual world. You touch the spiritual world. You taste the spiritual world. But the taste is love. The sensual experience is love. When you look at the object of your affection and seeing them invokes your desire love, your desire to serve them. It pulls out of your heart the ultimate realm of selflessness, which is the nature of the soul. The more the soul is absorbed in Krishna, the more one becomes attracted to Krishna, the more one therefore serves Krishna, the more one becomes selfless and pure and spiritual. So drinking the ocean of transcendental bliss, seeing Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya is seeing Krishna, a flood, an ocean of transcendental bliss is coming through the eyes, invoking his love for Krishna. And the sentiments in his heart wells up to such a degree that those in the proximity are just overwhelmed with ecstatic transcendental bliss. That is the nature of advanced spiritual consciousness. It's not just that you have to perceive it, it affects you. Just like with Sukadeva Goswami, he was so wonderful that when Vyasadeva called, "My son, my son, my son," the trees echoed. And the echo of the trees was understood that the trees were influenced by the association of Sukadeva Goswami and feeling his separation. So we're reading this nature of the spiritual world, where either by hearing about God, or by seeing God, or by embracing God, tasting God, touching God, the nature of the soul, which is to give oneself fully to God, wells in the heart. So here, we're seeing that spiritual realm, Krishna Lila, and we're seeing how those sentiments work as Krishna comes to Dwarka, and how each citizen, according to his or her capacity, contributes to the joyous reception of Krishna, the festival of Krishna, and they're all able to express their love to Krishna through their participation in the reception of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, because pleasure is love, and reception of guests is an expression of love. And this is the supreme reception of guests. And therefore Krishna, as a person, sweetly reciprocates with each citizen, friend, or relative appropriately. And he's not limited in that reception. He's not limited in that reciprocation because that's the nature of God. God cannot be limited. So God can reciprocate with every living entity perfectly without limiting the reception and time spent with others. He can reciprocate with you. And so we're getting that sense of this wonderful reciprocation in the spiritual world, where heart to heart there's this exchange. And that's, you know, when Vyasadeva went into meditation when he was to write about this, anyway, I'm forgetting the verse, but he had a perception, a pashepurusham purnam, samyak malayate, I can't remember the verse, but he had he perceived, and what he perceived is that what the ultimate reality is God and God's energies, and the exchange between the source of energy and the energy, between the energetic and the energetic source. And the exchange is service and pleasure. And mayachitara patsayam. And he saw the external energy under God's control, which is another energy that God is exchanging with. And he also saw that energy was Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So it's this exchange. And part of this exchange is the beauty of that object of love, a moonlight face, which appears as a vessel meant for those hankering to tasteful beauty. There's a correlation between this world and that. And our hankerings here are perfectly fulfilled there. But hankerings can only be fulfilled if those hankerings to experience are for the purpose of love or are as a result of love. So here we see this reception going, Krishna's proceeding towards his parents' home. And it's love. It's devotion. Everything is devotion. We just read today in the CC how wonderful it was that when Lord Chaitanya stops at Vipra Shasana, where it's a Brahmin community, where everyone is offering him food of so many varieties, and they're putting it on the cart, behind the cart, expression of love. And so wonderful. So here, Krishna is entering the house of his father, and he's embraced by the mothers, and they're expressing their love. Prabhupada said, Krishnanu Shilanam, that what is bhakti, it's anushilanam, it's activities. It's not just consciousness, but the consciousness is manifest in activities to please the senses of the beloved, with words, with body, mind, and works. So the mothers, they see Krishna after so long, and there's so many mothers, means so many people who have that conception. And what is that conception? The conception is, I am your maintainer. Very deep and intimate. I am your maintainer. And they have that conception, Vatsal Yaras, some very, very deep affection. And that affection is naturally manifest in activities of love, to enhance love, Very important, the concept of anubhav. Anubhav are actions in love, but actions in love are a complementary emotional experience of love. And Satchinandana Swami, when he gave his very wonderful class on prayers, he talked about the importance of obeisances and how sankhya purva kanama dana nati vi, that the Goswamis, they bow down in scheduled measurement. What does that mean? It means that they offered prayers. And it offered prayers from their hearts with their words. And hearts means also mind. Mind means when you offer a prayer, you should consciously think of the object of that prayer. You should activate the mind. Satchinandana Swami also said, even when chanting japa, he said a very powerful thing to do is to meditate on your guru, sitting there and then chanting. And what did he say? He said, without permission, there's no admission. Getting sanction for your devotion, getting blessings for your devotion. What a wonderful Vaishnava move. He said, when you offer prayers, he said, it's also nice to bow down. You offer prayer, and then you bow down, and you say that prayer, and it's so absorbing. Because the action of bowing down, the action of, and these different types of patience, of folding your hands, when you fold your hands before you clasp your hands together, it means these hands are for you. That is the action of love. The action of devotion is your senses become the agent for another's desires. Usually the senses are an agent for our own desires. When someone humbly folds his hands, he's saying that my hands are an agent for your desire. And that's what the soul is hankering for. We're not independent of God. Even if we try, that's not our constitution. But we're hankering for an object of service. And there's nothing more satisfying in the heart than that shift in orientation, where you become for another. That is love, and that's selflessness, and that's what the soul is looking for. I may have mentioned to you when I every morning at about 8:30, I go out and I go to this echo farm of Prem Kishore, and there's this, it's just beautiful. I spent the whole day with Satchinandana Swami the other day, first talking some philosophical questions, and we went over there. And it's so beautiful and I lost my train of thought. Let me get it back here. I was that's frustrating because I wanted to say something. I'll figure it out in a second. Anyway, I'll get it to another way. The hands in front of you, there's such a relationship between mudras, posture, obeisances, and emotions. So it's so nice in offering prayers to do that. Actually, you should try that. Say a prayer, but just don't say a prayer. Think of the object of that prayer. Who is the person you're worshiping? I was talking about who he said, sitting down, and then, yes, he did blessings. And anyway, the actions is so important to put your body in the conception, and out loud, say the prayer. You send your obeisances to Prabhupada. Even now, after the class, you can try it. You say, Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Sri
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaktyatide. Say that prayer, but envision your hands are on Prabhupada's feet and say the prayer out loud. And think of the meaning of the prayer. Nama, na, not, ma, ego, without ego. I have no self-centeredness or self-conceit. I am yours, Krishna. I am yours. I am yours. We should do this. It's very, very effective. Just saying prayers and paying obeisances and praying. And activating the mind, the body, and the words in Krishna's service. You should try it. Every day, pay your obeisances and think of the object of your... Satchinandana Swami said also that, he read some, Acharya said that when you're chanting and you're chanting on your beads, you can meditate that you're massaging the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So here, after entering the house of his father, he was embraced by the mother's presence, and the Lord offered his obeisances unto them by placing his head on their feet. So God is appreciating. He's relishing that motherly love. I have to say, I joke with people that I take down to this farm, and I say, I go down to this farm where this very wonderful devotee, Prem Kishore, lives there 9 months of the year. It's wonderful, his service to the cows and his faith. And I go there, so he preaches to me. He says, Vrindavan is not suburbia. Vrindavan is not these buildings. Vrindavan means the cows. Vrindavan means the birds. The Dhaba means the trees, the flowers. So I go there, and I sit amongst these Sarabi cows, and I chant. Because that mood, that this is Vrindavan. And there's one cow there, Jamuna. And it's so nice to brush that cow and do some service to the cow. The cows are even more dear to Krishna than the Brahmins. And you just get a realization that, yes, this is the spiritual world. The spiritual world because it creates a spiritual atmosphere when those cows are loved. And he has so much faith that serving the cows will bring all auspiciousness if they're done by love. And now the mothers, after embracing their sons, sat him on their laps. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breasts. That's a physical thing. But can you imagine when that happens out of pure affection, milk is springing from the breast of the mother, how much love they are feeling by that? They were overwhelmed with harsha. Vivalita atma. They're overwhelmed with harsha, with delight, with pleasure, with happiness. And sishikur, nature's eye, and water is pouring from their eyes. Now, because we mentioned this is the anurag of the queens, the residents of Dwarka, and it's applicable to the relationships of Vrindavan. It just has to be applied there because the same principles are there. Atavishat Svavanam Sarvakamana Nutanam Dasara Yatta Patninam Sahasani Chishodhisa. Thereafter the Lord entered his palaces, which were perfect to the fullest extent. His wives lived in them, and they numbered over 16,000. Purport, Lord Krishna has 16,100 wives. For each and every one of them, there was a fully equipped palace complete with necessary compounds and gardens. Full description of these palaces is given in the 10th canto. All the palaces were made of the best marble stone. They were illuminated by jewels and decorated by curtains and carpets of velvet and silk, nicely bedecked and embroidered with gold lace. There is aesthetic. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. Beauty is a reflection of God. There are eternal essential principles which we even discover in this world. It's kind of like Plato's theory. The original pure forms are there in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, the Supreme Lord doesn't have a... It's not material. It's described when Radha and Krishna and Krishna and the gopis are together. Krishna has no desire for sensual experience. He just wants their service and affection. And it's only because in that relationship, service and affection is manifest in a conjugal way, he's interested in that. Although he has, where us, we cannot separate the sensuous experience and the sense of egoistic pleasure and from the affection that may be offered in a particular relationship. But for Krishna, it's about the love. And therefore, Prabhupada will make a very amazing point in another purport, which I think I'm going to go ahead to. I was shocked when I saw this, because it says, not shocked, but it was so what I was studying. It says, the embrace of the sun is not exactly... The embrace of the eyes is more effective in the conjugal relationship. The embrace of the eyes is more effective. And this is so wonderful for our conception in our line, in our Vaishnav line. In our Vaishnav line, our perfection. There's two types of conjugal love. Kama rup, the form of kama or lust, but it's not the form of lust. It has the form of lust, but not the consciousness of lust. Because the form of lust is very, very intense. But the intensity in the material world is exactly the opposite. The intensity in the material world is for one's own pleasure in that relationship. And the intensity of the spiritual world is the pleasure of God in that relationship. So there's two types of kamarup. There's sambhog, direct relationship, and tad-tad-bhava ichamayi, which is the a mood of appreciation of that relationship through the pleasure of one whom you love who's engaged in that relationship. And basically, it means the pleasure of the eyes is greater. We don't have that experience here because we don't have experience of love. So we can only judge it by the sensual stimulation. But if the standard is love, then it says here, if the standard is love, then it says here, the embrace of the eyes is more effective. Because it's all about that affection and love. And in our line, we're appreciating, we're in the mood of the servants of Srimati Radharani, the selfless young servants of Srimati Radharani. They want nothing to do with direct connection with Krishna. But they appreciate that relationship with Krishna out of love for Radharani and what she experiences, they experience. I'm going to refer it to just something in my birth tradition. There's a Yiddish word called kvel, like K-V-E-L-L, I guess it would be kvel. And what it means is, it's basically the feeling of a mother when her child succeeds, when her child is glorified, when her child is successful. Then the mother has a feeling of joy that's more than the child's. I'll just give you an example. Every year, or now for the last 2-3 years, my mother comes to my Vyas Puja. So I'm sitting there, and garlands are offered to me, and flowers are offered to me, and worship offered to me. But my mother is watching this, and that's her son being glorified in worship. And then her pleasure is greater. Her pleasure is greater. The child, you know, the son may win the Olympic gold medal, but the mother who watches it enjoys it more because of that deep selfless love. So in the spiritual world, we are aspiring for this deep selfless love. And we want that love to be so deep that if we can arrange and assist in the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, we will be just so happy and have so much pleasure that our pleasure actually be as great as hers. And I remember what I was going to say when I went down to that farm with Satchinanda. Maybe I was going to say this. I think I told you last time we watched this video of Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Vakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, and he was describing how careful one is in entering these higher subjects of Radha and Krishna. He called it transgressing on the harem of Krishna. He's saying how we do not want to undervaluate. By taking it cheaply, you don't want to undervaluate these things. And he described how naturally it will come by force. It will overwhelm one if one enters that with a mood of veneration and service and hankering and yearning. It will happen, but it's not that it can just forcibly be given to you by the guru. It's given through the guru, but when one is mature. And very nice example. He gave the example that a young girl was to give birth to a child. And she was so innocent. She said, "Mom, Mother, I'm going to go to sleep now. Tell me when the children will be born." And the mother said, "No, I'm going to sleep. You wake me up when the children are born." Meaning that, yes, it may be mercy. Part of that mercy is the practice and process that purifies your heart and qualifies you for that mercy. And that there's work that has to be done on one's part. And I remember after that in the video, it was so nice, and I'll describe it to you again, but it was so beautiful. He described in a very humble way, he had to explain it to the others, explaining how it's a descent of mercy. And he described where he said maybe a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, he doesn't remember, but a descent of divine knowledge. That means the divine consciousness. And his image was so beautiful. What happened is that this consciousness engulfed him. And then when that consciousness engulfed him, he said he felt captured. In a very humble way, he was captured by that force. And he said And being captured by that force for the service of that force, for the service of that divine consciousness, his heart is beginning to melt. And he understood that's what it meant that they come with chariots to take you to Vaikuntha, the concept of chariot. He said he was captured in that way. And then he reflected, he said, there are other times that I had some realization and some knowledge. That knowledge was the object. It was outside of me. It was the object of my consciousness. And I was the subject viewing that knowledge, viewing that experience. He said, but this was so different, he said, that when this force of divine knowledge engulfed his consciousness, he said that rather than that consciousness being the object of his consciousness, he became the object of the divine. It's a complete shift in orientation from being at the center to being at the periphery, to being the enjoyer to being the enjoyed, from being the controller to being the controlled. And he was saying, this mood, this type of consciousness, that I am for God unconditionally and for God's will unconditionally, that type of consciousness melts the heart in an effusion of divine love. And then he had the vision. He said that I was, it said everything was venerable and I was the only servant. Meaning his orientation towards everything was for everything. He was for everything, for the use and pleasure of everything. It's the exact opposite of material consciousness, shift in orientation. I am for everything. And in that consciousness, he said, everything was venerable. But the spiritual world is the land of gurus, where everything becomes guru. Shanada peace and ichena, karora peace and hishnana, amanina madane nate. One should work, chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, lower than a blade of the grass, more tolerant than a tree. So the tree is venerable. It's the guru for tolerance. The grass is venerable. It's the guru for humility. So I was the only servant, and everything else was to be served. And I guess the valid point that's being made when you're relating to this pastime, that's the essence. There's forms of conjugal love, there's forms of parental love. But it's love. It's selfless consciousness. And therefore, the way to enter into that consciousness is to become a selfless servant. And therefore, the foundation of Braja Bhakti is humility. Humility, the happiness, with being the enjoyed, the happiness with being the controlled, the happiness with being the servant. Not of an exploiting agent, but of the supreme loving agent. The component is gratitude, great appreciation for the presence and will of the divine, which is the only object which can fully fill one's heart with love. The consciousness of Guru Nishtha, of being fixed in the concept of servant for God through his representative, and compassion, the consciousness of feeling for others, so the shift of orientation. And that's what we're seeing here, where the object of love is Krishna. I'm going to stop now. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo. Gail, you waited your appropriate 5.5 seconds. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify.
You're dancing because it used to be initially just 1 second, then 2 and 3. You're becoming controlled. You're just becoming the humble servant of the Sangha.
Okay.
You have a question?
Yeah. I just want to clarify that when you say that, the devotees, certain class of devotees, they're embrace of their eyes in the conjugal relationship refers to the tut-tut ishmayi, you know.
Well, actually, it refers to the pleasure of when Radha and Krishna, and this was told to me actually by one, I don't name them, but it was one sadhaka who's close to me and has very deep meditation. And he was explaining that tut-tut bhava ishmayi. And the culmination is the meeting of Radha and Krishna and their embrace through the eyes, where they're drinking each other's beauty and an ocean of transcendental bliss flows from one to another. The bliss of the beauty of Radharani, the bliss of the beauty of Krishna, and the everything about Krishna is so beautiful. What to see is Radharani in love is seeing his gold crown and seeing his peacock feather, is seeing the color of his skin, seeing the reddishness of his lips, seeing his lotus eyes that are hanging to his ear, looking at the jewel, the ripples on his stomach, his golden dhoti. Oh, drinking in the eyes the beautiful form of Krishna, whom one loves. The experience is not the sensual thing, but it's the condition of the heart and how the heart is melting and opening up and the desires for Krishna and Krishna's pleasure awakening the heart. And it's just a flow. It's just the form of Krishna and his shark-like earrings against his cheeks. And what to speak when Krishna is looking at Sri Mati Radharani. How beautiful her form is, the golden mustard complexion. And the decorations on her body and her jewelry and her... So that type of thing is there, and someone is perceiving it. But what I was saying is, it lets you understand if in Radha and Krishna, the embrace, as Prabhupada said, is even more intense through the eyes than what our experience is of conjugal relationship, then what to speak of someone who's seeing that through the eyes, in that conjugal mood, that's the relationship they appreciate with Krishna. But their love for Srimati Radharani is so great that they get more pleasure from her association with Krishna than their own. And therefore the perfection of their eyes is to just look and see Radha and Krishna drinking the ocean of transcendental bliss. And what would the condition of their heart and how it would fill with love when the servants of Radha and Krishna are viewing that. But you're correct in that sense. The embrace of the eye was referring to basically between Radha and Krishna, the gopis and Krishna. But because there's another type of relationship in Kama Rupa, a conjugal relationship, where one has so much love for Srimati Radharani, that they fell when Radha and Krishna, their joy comes to their heart, and they have so much happiness for Radharani, and they're so much one in consciousness and mind, they're so attuned to Radharani's desires, that eventually whatever she feels, even physically, come to their bodies. Gail?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm, thank you. Oh, but one minor point, I think, a different thing, is, you know, I always hear about 16,100 wives of Krishna. Sometimes I hear 16,108. So which is the number?
16,108.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept humble obeisance.
Nandadulal, Hare Go.
Maharaj, in the beginning, you mentioned that in your cousin, in the 31 years, she was doing meditation. Is it in a like a Siddhi type of meditation?
A what?
What type of meditation she was doing in the 31
years? Personal meditation. It's the meditation of the Himalayan masters that was given by her guru. She's quite adept in it.
Oh,
and therefore, for her to sit and chant 16 rounds, she just told me, she told me, I just took dinner with her. And I'm just so happy because she's getting Satchinandan's association, and he's really giving her a lot of mercy. And she just told me what she feels like now is that she died and she wound up in heaven. And she actually had an astrologer that told her that she would die this month. And she went back to him and said, well, what does this really mean? He said, well, your life will change. So for her, she's woken up in heaven. But at the same sense, nothing that she's practiced is lost.
No.
Because she has such control over her mind.
Oh.
And such good behavior that, you know, she's actually just satisfied to sit and chant all day. But she's relishing everything. Jamuna, they're going to start a one-week Sharanagati at different temples and chant for her. I told her about it. Oh, yes. She goes and she went to Satchinandana Swami's lecture today, and she really relished the lecture in the temple. And then she went before the deities of Goni Kai. And she said she had such a strong rush of realization from her inner guides that they're delighted that she is delighted.
Oh.
That they're delighted that she's so happy. But she's getting, and the devotees love her, and she's getting so much association. But she's staying for the month, and then she has to go back where she was. And she's getting good advice that when you're 31 years in a tradition, you know, when she was surrendered to a guru who did give her a lot, that you don't break it immediately because it could cause all kinds of disturbances. So she's going to go back for other responsibilities and just see where the divine energy is carrying her. Yes, yeah, so the people really like this, you know. And it really shows you what it said in Nectar Devotion, that if one performs any of the five items of devotional, the most important items of devotional service without offense, then one could get bhava. And that's what she's experienced. She's experiencing a very high level of transcendental bliss. Because without offense, she's appreciating the Dham, the devotees, the deities, and the Katha, and all the five items. She's just bowing her head in respect to the sweetness that she's finding in this Krishna tradition. Okay, thank you, Nandadula. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Guru Maharaj, Jai Nitai here, except my abhi.
Jai Nitai, Hari Bol, Jai.
I'm sitting here with Shastra at Shastra's house.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing in Rehoboth Beach?
Well, I'm going to grab my...
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, yeah. Grab my margins here. Okay, great.
So my question is about your comment regarding the work that we have to do to become qualified for mercy. And that, as opposed to the idea of, you know, sort of mercy being causeless and so forth. So is the work, I mean, is that idea within the heart of the devotee that, oh, I have to do so much work to become qualified? Or is that more like an objective reality, that there's actually certain sort of prerequisites we have to do in order for that mercy to flow?
Well, mercy is causeless because that's one thing, you know. It's really resolving that mercy is causeless. But at the same time, we have to resolve that with the fact that we're practicing some spiritual practice. If it's just completely nothing we do matters, right? Nothing we do can help us get that goal, then why would we practice? So I think there has to be a reconciliation. How we can have practice to help us attain something without belying the fact that it's mercy. And I just have a personal story that really helped me resolve this. It was one summer I was here. Actually, it was the year that Krishnamayi had left. And Sadhu Sanganand in Boston asked me if I could pick up these deities for him. And that was April. It was so hot here in April, so I went to the bazaar. And then I was sitting in one shop, and the shopkeeper said, can I get you something to drink? And you know, it was just so thirsty. And I said, please get me these mango drinks called fruities, you know? And I really had a strong hankering and a strong desire for them. So he had a search all over, and he came back and had these two cold drinks. And just as I was about to drink them, this beggar boy came to the store. Now, the beggar boy, I can only see the top half because, you know, the stores are kind of elevated, the shops. And when he begged it, my initial reaction, I called it ugly American. I just like, no, oh, get away. I just want to enjoy. And then he walked away. And then I kind of, you know, looked and I saw, I had a stool down, you know, he was really destitute. And then I felt so bad that I was so selfish that I wanted to give him a drink, and he turned the corner and disappeared. I felt horrible. So what did he do to invoke my mercy? He's never going to pay for that. But there's something he did to invoke my mercy. And what that is the expression of legitimate need. So what I think is that our spiritual practices can purify our hearts, remove egoistic anarchies, and bring us to the point of an expression of our general need. And that general need will attract mercy without belying the fact that we still have not done anything to earn it.
Great. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thanks. Well, really nice to hear from you. And just when do you start your new work?
I started already.
You did? You
yes.
Did. By the way, when I was here, it's kind of interesting. When I was here, this one lady came to my classes every day and really developed a relationship by hearing, you know, and really wanted to do service. And I can see she was one of these ladies that really got things done. And in getting to know her, I mean, she may even bring me, she's in Croatia, Bosnia, thing like that. Getting to know her, it was just interesting that she was the regional director for civic education in Europe for the Red Cross. So, I guess you're working. Are you working for the international or the local?
Well, there's an American Red Cross, and then each country really has their own Red Cross, and then they're affiliated under what's called the International Red Cross and Red Crescent Society.
Okay, and you're working for?
The American Red Cross.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought of you because of that, because I knew it was in it. Okay, wish you all well, your family. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. And my regards to Vinodrahi Maharaj. Tell her that Dorota is so busy, but she's coming to my classes every week once or twice. Okay?
Anyway, oh, I will.
Thank you. Okay, Hare Krishna. Great. Anybody else would like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Indrani, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, is that your cousin who came to Devanagari one time?
Came to visit Devanagari, yes.
Oh, I am so excited to hear about her. Please, she's so sweet. We had such lovely conversations. I remember her. I send her my love, and I am so happy and so happy to hear about.
Yes, she has her bead bag around her neck, and there's no big stir that she's a sannyasi with wearing saffron.
Yes.
Right on. Yeah, and she's getting sick.
Excuse me.
What's that?
Yamuna and Dina, please give them my love.
Oh, yeah, they're filled with love. I went there today to arrange.
Yes.
My cousin wants to know about the cooking and the things, and I arranged with, and they're really such loving people. So I'll tell them that, yes, I'll tell them both that Mother Indrani sends her love. Thank you.
And can
Thank
I just
so
one more thing, Maharaj, you have another minute.
Yeah.
Maharaj, how Krishna does hear and respond. This morning, I was feeling a little, I don't know, sad, and I did my eyes, feeling that I don't love Krishna, I don't love Krishna, what do I do? And then I looked at a picture, and I saw Radharani, and I said, well, maybe I have to come through you more, because I'm always crying Krishna. And your class this morning, you seem, they were both talking to me through you, and I thank you for this class this morning. It just brought answers to my cry. So thank
Well, Mother Indrani, you have such a, I think because of the mercy of your Guru Maharaj and his example, your heart is filled with a lot of gratitude. And when one is grateful, he has a much greater capacity to experience mercy. Thank you. Hare
Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Bol. Greetings from Vrindavan. Thank you. Good. Anybody else just like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj?
Hare Bol.
It's Mahamuni. I've been getting reports from Bob, so thanks for taking good care of him.
Bob is doing absolutely great. I mean, I've never, really, he's such a pleasure. Because I can't take care of everyone that just shows up. But I, you know, he's just doing great. I mean, he's just very, I can't explain, he's just so natural and happy and humble to be in the Dham. And there's a wedding tomorrow of Satchinandana's disciples. That I'm invited to, and Bob's going to be the photographer.
Great.
And, on the 9th, on the 10th, he's going to go to Govardhan. There's a very nice devotee there, Adiviyas. He's a great guy. He's going to meet him there, take him around. Devanagari takes him every day after the morning class to different temples. He comes to my class in the evening. And, he looks zero freaked out. He's like a fish in water.
That's great. It's nice to see that the tree of Tawako is still bearing fruit in various ways. So.
Right. Oh, hey. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Right. Are you making a comment that it took one fruit 10 years to ripen?
1 minute, Anna, please. I suppose, Marsh. My daughter is trying to have a conversation with me now, so I'll have to mute her. But thank you, Marsh.
Okay, I will. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Amiya, Hare Bol. Great.
Today.
Okay, great.
I was thinking that in trying to envision the spiritual world and looking at it in the correct manner, how important the artwork is that we have to us now.
How important is the what?
The artwork that we have. The window
yes.
of the spiritual world. and how important that is for us to surround ourselves with now while we still look with imperfect eyes.
So, yes, yes, very good. It's actually good. Thank you.
And can I make one comment on the word quell?
Yeah. Is that German?
In the German-English dictionary, it is translated as well, spring, fountain, and source.
Say that again?
It is translated as well, spring, fountain, and source.
Oh.
And
that's beautiful. So what it means is the appreciation of someone, it means the joy in your own heart that's just flowing like a well or a fountain.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice point. I heard it just used in a particular way, but I never spoke Yiddish. Like my grandparents spoke fully, and then my parents, you know, naturally growing up that way, understood a lot more. And I just picked up a few words, but that makes a lot of sense. But it's used that when you see someone else, I guess the
out of the earth, you know, the way it is restricted by the earth, there's a restriction, and then it just bubbles up or shoots out of the ground.
Wow, okay, great. So the happiness flows out. Thank you.
But it's
used in an analogy with joy coming from the heart.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's really interesting. Thank you. And, Ami, I think it would have been great next year if you were here at this time. You'd have such a good time with my cousin.
Yes, that's really fantastic that she's there.
Anyway, maybe if she's in New York, she can come for a week and we stay there and I can see her. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, this is Henry.
Henry, hi, Bo. The daughter of your best friend, one of your best friends, is coming the day after tomorrow.
Well, yes, her mother is so thrilled by your hospitality, actually. You've pleased many Washingtonians.
Well, you know, I always liked Sanford from the time you met him. The first time I met him at Bun Bihari's 20th anniversary. And then when he would come visit me when I'm there. And he just seemed like a perfect gentleman. So I assume his daughter must be a very fine young lady, too, you know, from that kind of family, huh? And anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And you saw the schedule we outlined for her.
Oh, yes, that's fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. Yes, I was so pleased to see that.
Okay, great. Great. You know, when I come there next year, right, what's the name of the other guy you introduced me to, the son of your other friend that came to Vrindavan with you?
Johnny Miles.
Yeah, Johnny Miles. We can have Johnny Miles, Georgia. We can have, you know, I think the next time I go, we can have a little kind of program there for everyone, you know?
Right.
We'll get someone for dinner. Okay, thanks, Henry. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mara.
Anybody else like to just say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Neela.
Neela, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the class.
Okay, and did you get a response yet to my letter?
No, I didn't have a chance to open it. Did you send?
Okay. I think I did, yeah. I got your letter. Good.
I will have a look. Thank you very much.
And nice that you seem very, very settled, and despite the turmoil of the world.
Yeah.
You seem kind of internally settled and waiting for the birth of your child. And we'll give our greetings here and well wishes for your family. Okay.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Kuldeep.
Wow, Kuldeep. I just spoke this morning in my class. It described that when
what you're trying to chastise King Pratapurudra, right? He got so frightened. And I was trying to explain something of the culture when a father, you know, when you have the proper respect and the father has the proper sobriety and dignity, you know, his words are so powerful. And I kind of gave the example of your father, but nice to hear from you, Kuladeep.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. Great. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Oh, Bharati, great. And you'll be here just in a week or two, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Vrindavan.
Sure.
And somehow, no matter what you're doing, you should somehow try to get out of your tour and at least come to my class in the afternoon here. You'll enjoy it. Okay?
I do.
Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Well, I don't know, I've experienced each every year, you know, when the winter comes, there's less of those 1,000 festivals and so many festivals more and more people have time for the classes, so thanks. Hare Krishna, Vanchakalpa, Sridhi, Jatapa, Sindhu, Deva, Jatapa, 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 J